Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul? What's up, Paul? Most interactive show, and really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
No one knows how it will play out, but the D'Amico Ryans hire was a home run and officially turns the page from the Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby era of Houston Texans football. What's going on, people? Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in to text in to the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. A texter says, what's Tucker Carlson doing on your show, Paulie? Look, we get big guests. We only go for big guests. He was in studio. We are close personal friends, even though there was that one time on TV where he may have, you know, said a lot of things about me without actually asking my side of the story, but whatever. It's fine. It's just actual journalism. I wanted to try and interpret a couple of statements from the Houston Texans. They will have a press conference today at 3:59 in honor of D'Amico Ryans' number with the Houston Texans, where Ryans will finally get to speak with the media. You bet your bottom dollar that I'm going to have my Big J boots on and out there asking some questions. Cal McNair had this to say about D'Amico Ryans as head coach of the Texans. D'Amico is everything we are looking for in a leader and coach for our organization. He has a proven track record for developing high-quality players and constantly innovated his defensive scheme over the last six seasons in San Francisco. My interpretation of Cal McNair's statement right there, that is what D'Amico Ryans sold Cal on. Is that actually true? We're going to find out a little bit more with Matt Maiocco of the NBC Sports San Francisco. I almost said CSN San Francisco. CSN doesn't exist anymore, whatever. You don't care about that. We're going to ask him about like how much of a role he had in that stretch. Because remember, Robert Saleh was also the defensive coordinator of the San Francisco 49ers then. And the Niners have had some really good defensive players over this Kyle Shanahan era. Nick Bosa is one of them. Fred Warner's good. And as far as player development, I think that's who D'Amico Ryans would definitely point at and say, look, I got the most out of this guy. He's maybe the best middle linebacker, not named Micah Parsons, in the NFL. And I believe, I'm not 100% sure what the All-Pro voting is going to be, but I would not be surprised if Warner ends up the first team All-Pro middle linebacker and not Micah Parsons, because Parsons might be getting voted at a couple of different positions, but you don't care about that either. To continue the statement by Cal McNair, we started this process with the goal of finding someone our fans and city can be proud of, and we've done just that. While we received a lot of incredible feedback and our support for D'Amico from different people, it was our discussions with him and his vision for our football team that made him the right coach to lead us as we continue to evolve as an organization. A pause again. They are listening. It's taken them too long to listen, but they are listening. And that statement right there by Cal McNair does confirm to an extent there was some fan disservice, at least in mind, when they hired D'Amico Ryans. That is not a problem, but that is a reality. The last part, congratulations to D'Amico and his family, and welcome back to H-Town. Brings up H-Town. They are very big. He threw up the H probably as he signed that on the dotted line, that statement that he wrote. I got to say, they're making a big deal about H-Town these days. And I like that they are at the very least realizing that they have not been a part of this city since their inception. They have been this weird team that happens to pay rent here. Now they're actually starting to embrace the fact that they're Houston. Took them way too long. But you take it when you can get it. Nick Caserio had a statement as well. On behalf of the entire Texans organization, I would like to welcome D'Amico Ryans and his family back to Houston. It's interesting that he begins it saying, on the behalf of the entire Texans organization, I welcome him to Houston. I would say like, hey, I'm Nick Caserio, and all right, we got to make this work. That's what that opening statement means. We got to make this work. D'Amico is a proven coach with a track record of success who has an innate ability to lead people. That is definitely true. He is progressive in his vision, a great communicator, a connector, and somebody that values collaboration. Pause. Go back to Casario's press conference after the Texans announced the firing of Lovie Smith. You'll notice that he said the word collaborate often. Casario is going to have to learn to perhaps take his hands off of everything, which I don't think is easy for many people to do. I'll admit myself, I'm a control freak at times. Delegation's hard. Casario has not delegated well. I'm very curious as to what kind of partnership this is, though, when it comes to collaboration and what kind of partnership Casario would want. We continue to read Nick Casario's statement and then try to interpret it along on the fly. We are working to build a sustainable program that has long-term success, and D'Amico is the coach we feel is the best fit to help us achieve our goals. We feel. I do want to know what Casario's true thoughts were in this matter. Was D'Amico the guy for him? Because D'Amico's definitely the guy for Cal. Continues the statement, we know how important it is to get results. Now we have a lot of work to do, blah, blah, blah. I'm excited to partner with D'Amico to build our football team together. And then we have D'Amico Ryan's statement, new head coach of the Houston Texans. I'd like to first thank the San Francisco 49ers, Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, blah, 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 blah. Who cares about that? I couldn't be prouder of what we accomplished together. Also couldn't care about that. I will cherish memories, blah, 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 blah. Here we go. Here's the important part. Bury the lead, D'Amico. Jeez. Being the head coach of the Houston Texans is my dream job. Whoa. Dream job. Wasn't it a couple of weeks ago that we were of the belief that D'Amico Ryan's was not even interested in this job? That was from Aaron Wilson, and someone told him that. I'm wondering who did and how close that person actually is to D'Amico Ryan's. This is his dream job. That might be overselling it a little bit of hyperbole. Dream job to be the head coach of the Houston Texans. Maybe it's not that bad of a job as everyone was making it out to be.
Is this the first is D'Amico Ryan's the first person ever whose dream job was the Houston Texans? Dom Capers, not his dream job. Bill O'Brien, obviously not his dream job.
I'm thinking, Sean.
Gary Kubiak, maybe. Hometown.
Gary Kubiak would make sense. Gary Kubiak would have made sense because that was his first head coaching gig. It was here in his hometown.
Yeah.
So I think Kubiak, yes. But for the other guys, probably not. Like Bill O'Brien wants to be Bill Belichick.
Lovie Smith, no.
Lovie Smith is like, well, I may as well get this check. Bomani's right in that point that he made. Like, yeah, that was probably the last job Lovie Smith was going to get. Same thing with David Culley. Like, those were the last jobs that they were going to get.
The one last job.
I would just say Lovie Smith's record is being impeccable. Okay. Illinois? The Bucks? Sure.
Yeah, you can peckable that.
He was good with the Bears. Peckable. He had a good time with the Bears. He had some good players. And sometimes you lose your fastball. And that was back in, 2005, 2006 when he was throwing at his best as far as being a head coach. That's almost 20 years ago. Continues D'Amico Ryan's statement. It's my dream job and my family is thrilled to be back in H-Town. We threw up the H. I've been around the game of football my entire life and I've always had a natural ability to lead others. Humble brag. Actually, that's an actual brag. I know what it takes to win and be successful in this league as both a player and coach. We're going to build a program filled with players who have a special work ethic and relentless mindset. I understand the responsibility I have to this organization and to the fans of Houston to build a winner, and I can't wait to get to work. A lot of politicking talk right there. So those are the three statements. Cal McNair, who you're hearing, there's a little fan service involved in bringing D'Amico back. Nick Casario, where you get a sense of, I'm going to have to figure out how to work with this guy. And D'Amico Ryan's, who says it's his dream job, and that is, I think, surprising to a lot of people out there. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You can call in with your thoughts on the hiring of D'Amico Ryan's as the sixth head coach of the Houston Texans at 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. At 11:30, we're going to learn more about D'Amico Ryan's tenure as San Francisco 49ers assistant coach and as their defensive coordinator with Matt Maiocco of NBC Sports Bay Area. Coming up next, it's been really interesting to see some of the reporting on all of these coaching rumors over the last couple of weeks. Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport were at each other's throats yesterday, so we'll discuss that. Plus, I'm going to get all of my negativity out and flush it down the toilet when it comes to concerns I have about the hiring of D'Amico Ryans. We're going to get it out on the same day that we're telling you to celebrate. I know. I'm sorry. I'm not going to pander all show long, though. That's just not my brand. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. First, though, let me tell you about my friends at TGS Insurance, where people are saving money every single day. Because they know they're overpaying. And they text money to 232323. And you get an instant quote with legit savings. Some of our listeners who have saved big on their home insurance over the past week, Harold in Sugarland, $600. Caesar in the Woodlands, $1,200. And then you got Alphonse on the north side of town, $2,000. How about that? From inside the loop to the suburbs all the way to the coast, the average customer who switches to TGS saves over $800. So the time for you to save is right now. What are you waiting for? Grab your phone, text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system will ask you for your address. You send it back, and you'll get your full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. That easy to win. With over 2,000 five-star reviews, this is a company you can trust with simple, fast, easy, and big savings the TGS Insurance way. Text money to 232323. Again, money to 232323. To get your home insurance quote and save big today.
Does D'Amico Ryans finally give you hope for the future of the Texans? Let us know on Twitter at ESPN97.5.
Hey, you looking for some?
This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
The Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call in or text in on the HRNP listener line if you have some thoughts on the Texans hiring of D'Amico Ryans. I think it is a home run hire. That does not mean he will be a great head coach, but this is a day worth celebrating if you're a Houston Texans fan. Be happy. You don't get many moments like this to say, the world is our oyster. Everything is positive going forward. Sort of the same thing, like say you get a job that you applied for, or you ask somebody out and they say yes, or maybe you propose to somebody and they say yes. Like, you feel really good in the moment, but you don't know 100% what's going to happen next. Sorry to be the rain cloud of doom. I'm not trying to be that. But since a lot of people view me as the most negative person that comes to talk about the Houston Texans on a daily basis on the radio, I'm just going to get all of my concerns out. And then I'll move on from him. I think some people are worried about his partnership with Nick Caserio. To an extent, I am. I think it does matter how those two communicate with one another when it comes to who they end up drafting over this year's draft. And if Caserio's still around next year's draft too. They're going to have a clear idea of what the other guy likes and find a way to perhaps compromise. That's not going to be easy to build over a 3 to 4 month stretch. So that relationship could potentially affect the final product of this coming Texans draft, where they have, of course, the second overall pick and the 12th pick and a pick early in the second round as well. A lot of picks in this year's coming draft. Another question I have, and we'll ask Matt Maiocco of NBC Sports Bay Area about this. How much of the credit pie does he truly deserve for the San Francisco 49ers defense over the years? Not just because Robert Saleh was the previous defensive coordinator and has gone on to be the head coach of the New York Jets. The 49ers defense did not take a step back at all in the interim with Saleh now in New York. But there's also a lot of talent on that defense. The talent deserves some credit for that defense. It has to. And you could give D'Amico credit for developing the talent and putting the talent in the right place over the last couple of seasons and having an open mind when it comes to scheming things and stuff like that. But the players do make the majority of the plays out there. Maybe he was just operating with a defense that was damn good. Sometimes great coordinators leave great systems and suck. Matt Nagy, for example, with the Kansas City Chiefs. Adam Gase was around Peyton Manning his whole career. He leaves. How did that work out? Somehow he got a couple of coaching gigs out of that.
Hater. You're being a hater right now.
A lot of people
how
would argue
that. How dare you wear that jacket and listen, hate on D'Amico Ryans?
Some people, and at 11, At 11:45, we're going to play all of the negative comments that I've been getting over the last couple of days, because people claim I'm stealing valor by wearing a Texans starter jacket and a Texans t-shirt today. Homage.com.
I don't know if it's stolen valor, but it definitely is a little bit much, I feel like.
I think you're a hater.
I feel like doubling. You're the hater. You're the one saying D'Amico Ryans is Adam Gase, not me.
I did not say that.
You're the one saying that he's Matt Nagy.
You. Here's the problem. Someone heard that and was like, Paul Gallant said that D'Amico Ryans is Adam Gase today. Mm-hmm. Probably thinks he sniffs bath salts before press conferences, smelling salts, whatever. No, I did not say that. I'm just saying sometimes coaches come from good teams or good coaching staffs, and you can't always determine who's the right guy. I will say, as far as familiarity goes, there are a few people that the Houston Texans would be more familiar with hiring as head coach than D'Amico Ryans, given that he was here for almost a decade. So that's a great victory for the Texans in that column. But how's he going to delegate responsibilities? Is he cool with it? Does he trust his friends too much? Is he going to be able to make tough decisions when it comes to potentially moving on from players now that he is getting into that phase? And on top of that, with coaches. He's the CEO now. You can't really be friends anymore. You're going to have to can people. You're going to have to fire people. You're going to have to make tough decisions that you've never made before. This is true for anybody who finally gets moved into a management position. So this isn't just like a D'Amico Ryans question. This is an anybody question. So those are the questions I have, and I'm just going to flush that negativity down the toilet. Woof. Just going to get a little Febreze in here. A match. Some people use matches. I feel like using a match is a little dangerous. You know, if you've perhaps dropped something off, there's methane in the air, you don't want to, you know, light the whole place on fire.
How much methane are you dropping on?
Listen, I'm just asking the question of why people would use a match. I feel like just a little spray of Febreze is fine. Is the Febreze harming the environment? Is
probably
not burning the methane?
Probably. I don't know how much different it is than like in regular aerosol can. So
yeah,
probably is.
Yeah, if you know what, you're probably right. And you know, if you burn the methane, it doesn't become fossil fuel and go up into the atmosphere. I'm a scientist.
Yeah, so
I've read a book once.
So D'Amico Ryans is Matt Nagy, and you're killing the earth. Got it. You're pro killing the earth.
There we go. Have you ever watched the movie Deliverance, Sean?
No.
You haven't? Well, there's a little scene in Deliverance where a couple of men stare each other down and compose together eventually. One of them looks like he's inbred. Eventually compose a beautiful tune. Dueling banjos. It just sounds like that, you know? Anyway, you got a little bit of that yesterday in the hot NFL media streets. If you listen to yesterday's show, there we go. I've never watched Deliverance. I probably have to at some point. But if you were on the internet yesterday, you saw Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter doing this to each other, but while staring each other down, pissed off, looking like they wanted to stab one another in the neck. Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe I'm projecting a little bit. But anyway, Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network tweeted out this. Unbelievable! The Broncos spent today trying to hire D'Amico Ryans again today before he recommitted to the Houston Texans, sources say. When he agreed to terms with the Texans, they moved and finalized. The Broncos did. Sean Payton. But Adam Schefter said this. Timing of today's two hires was completely coincidental. The Broncos were zeroed in on Sean Payton and didn't make any contact this week with D'Amico Ryans or his agent. Denver was focused on Payton and Houston on Ryans. PFT had a source that called this also a complete fabrication. I choose to believe that the Houston Texans won. They got D'Amico Ryans. They got the item, if you will, and the other guy's in the corner at the dance crying right now and settled for somebody else who was the true friend all along but isn't as hot. And they had to pay them to go out and dance on the floor too. First round pick and a second round pick. They get a third round pick back though, you know, a little smooch on the cheek. That's, I think, the equivalent of a third round pick sexually. And there you go, everybody. Dueling banjos. Media on media crime.
Yeah, I feel like I just want to believe the Rappaport one.
I want to believe the Rappaport one, too. Everyone wants to believe the Rappaport one.
It's funnier that they, like, threw a Hail Mary at D'Amico Ryans, and they're like, man, all right, well, call up the Saints. And then they start haggling on the price. They're like, actually, this price isn't that bad. I don't know why.
Well, we saw the report that D'Amico Ryans was the Denver Broncos' third first option,
yeah,
or something like that.
Woody Page, yeah.
And apparently they also made a massive push for Jim Harbaugh, which does sound like the kind of move that Walmart would make. And that's what Sean Payton was, too. No, well, look, I get it. They're new owners.
Just assigning it to Walmart. Like, it seems Walmart loves Jim Harbaugh.
It's a new Walmart move. It's a new ownership kind of move. It's a, hey, we're here. Let's get the biggest price item we can because we got all the money. Jim Harbaugh? Yeah. Sean Payton? Yeah. We don't care. But I think there was a probably large faction of people in the Broncos organization who wanted Ryans. I imagine, though, that they were overruled eventually and that it's maybe more some sort of, you know, scene out of Succession where Logan Roy just steps in at the end and is like, I want the biggest item. Bleep off. As Logan Roy is known to do.
Yeah. Or they didn't want to, like, because you also have to pay Sean Payton probably like top three coaching salary. Right?
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah.
And so it might be a
17
situation.
To $20 million is probably like close to the top. I think Belichick's making more, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah. It might be a situation where they like are like, okay, we'll keep throwing money at Sean Payton until he says yes, and then we'll trade with the Saints. You know, like it might have been they would have preferred Ryan's at a price point or something.
That is Sean Apes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It is the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. D'Amico Ryans is the newest head coach of the Houston Texans. He spent some time in San Francisco. Matt Maiocco of NBC Sports Bay Area will join us to talk about D'Amico's time with the San Francisco 49ers and at least one potential coach on the 49ers staff who could be joining D'Amico in Houston. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
And joining us right now on the HRNP guest line is a man who covers the San Francisco 49ers for NBC Sports Bay Area and the radio station KNBR up in the greater San Francisco area. His name is Matt Maiocco at MAIOCCONBCS on Twitter. Matt, what's going on? Thanks for joining us this morning.
Yeah, my pleasure. A lot going on around the league and looks like the Texans got their guy, so and the 49ers lost their guy, but everybody here was kind of bracing for that, the departure of D'Amico Ryans for the past year. So nobody's caught by surprise with the 49ers.
It doesn't seem that way. You heard it from Fred Warner himself in the post-game press conference after the 49ers lost to the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm already getting emotional, give or take, he said, about the idea of Ryan's no longer being here. So he comes in as an assistant in 2017. He works his way all the way up to defensive coordinator. As someone who's been covering this 49ers team for a while, what's your lasting impression of Ryan's time here with a 49ers team that sure has had a lot of talent and sure has had a lot of great coaches passing in and out?
I guess my lasting impression would be for a guy who stepped off the playing field, you know, was away from the game for 1 year and then got into coaching. I don't think I've ever been around an assistant coach who was as popular and as respected by the players and probably by his fellow coaches as much as D'Amico Ryans. You know, he came in with the instant credibility of the players because he had played the game at such a high level for a number of years, and he was still, you know, kind of a peer to them. He came in and he earned the respect of the coaching staff, some veteran coaches, because of how he approached the game, his willingness to learn, how he deferred to the older guys and just really went about it the right way. And then, of course, management just could not have been more pleased with him and everything that he brought to the table. I mean, I had, well, Nick Bosa told me a couple weeks ago, he's never been around a better assistant coach than DeMeco Ryans. And the one thing he pointed to was he didn't even really talk about the X's and O's. He said he's got that down. But what impressed him was just how he handled people, how he knows when to push hard, when to back off. He just has a really good touch when it comes to managing the psychology of a football player. It's a grind of a season, and it's never been longer. You know, 17 games in the regular season now, and then 49ers season ends in the NFC Championship game, so three more playoff games. And he managed to find a way every week to keep it fresh and interesting and keep the guys motivated and on point and in the right mindset from the first day of the offseason program until the end of the season on Sunday.
Well, personally, as someone who has been somewhat dead inside watching the team that plays here in town, the Texans, over the last couple of years, Matt, that is all very good to hear. I have a question just about, I guess, credit pie, and I know that this is maybe just like a sports talk show host kind of question, but Robert Saleh was there as defensive coordinator with the 49ers for a couple of years before DeMeco took over the last two seasons. I guess, how would you compare the way that those two coached? And if you were to, I guess, make a choice on who was actually the better defensive coordinator, who would you have picked?
It's kind of tough to say. I mean, both very highly respected guys, both knew the system inside out and were pretty good with people. Just based on what Nick Bosa had to say about DeMeco Ryans, I think I'd give DeMeco just a very slight edge from the sense of, he did play the game. He played the game at the highest level. So he's coming at it from that angle as well. And a lot of times guys who play 10 years in the NFL, they don't want to coach. They're done with the grind, the grueling seasons and all that. They just don't want to work those hours. Especially with DeMeco Ryans coming in on an entry-level deal, obviously he's going to be making a lot of money with the Texans, but you got to be committed to that profession. So I think from a defensive coordinator standpoint and the impact from the players, both very, very highly thought of, but I think I'd give a very slight edge to DeMeco Ryans.
Matt Maiocco, who covers the San Francisco 49ers for NBC Sports Bay Area, also KNBR as well. We have seen some rumors about who DeMeco may be bringing with him to Houston, and 49ers passing game coordinator Brian Slowick is going potentially to be interviewed for that offensive coordinator gig. Before we talk about Slowick, were there, Matt, a couple of coaches that you felt like were particularly close to DeMeco who maybe are, in a great coaching staff that San Francisco has with Kyle Shanahan at the top, perhaps looking for a bigger role that maybe he would potentially bring with him here to Houston?
Yeah, I mean, one guy that comes to mind is Daniel Bullock's defensive backs coach, safeties coach, actually. Somebody who also played a little bit and is kind of tied into the back end. I don't think that, generally Kyle Shanahan tells these guys, go find your own coaches. I like my guys. So unless there's a compelling reason for a guy who wants to be in Houston as opposed to San Francisco, whether it's family or whatever, the 49ers don't generally let those guys go or certainly don't want them to go. Bobby Slowick is a little bit different, of course, because he goes from being passing game coordinator with the 49ers to the offensive coordinator. And so the 49ers couldn't block that move for a guy who'd be going in there and calling plays. And to me, that's kind of the key piece of the puzzle for DeMeco Ryans. Putting together his coaching staff, I don't think he'll have any problem putting together a coaching staff because he's coming in there with a six-year contract. A lot of times, coaches, assistant coaches are reluctant to go with a first-time head coach. unless they feel like the guy is in it for the long haul and the organization is committed. But the Houston Texans are saying, you know, after two one-and-done coaches, it's very similar to Kyle Shanahan coming into the 49ers in 2017. 49ers had just gotten rid of coaches in back-to-back years, Jim Tomsula and Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
And so you knew they wanted to hit a home run with that third one, and they were going to give that next coach a pretty long leash, and that is you know, basically evident by a six-year contract. So I would think that DeMeco Ryans, with the respect that he has in the game, will be able to fill out a pretty good coaching staff. And you know, whether he wants to hold on to those defensive coordinator duties and can call the defensive plays or bring somebody in who he can kind of mentor and kind of get on the same page with while he manages the game, that remains to be seen. But that is not a concern, I don't think, for me with DeMeco Ryans putting together a staff, because I think he's well-respected enough around the league that if you're a pretty good offensive coach or even a defensive coach, any assistant kind of coaching person who has some options, DeMeco Ryans is a pretty good option there going to Houston, where he does have some stability and some security for a couple years at least.
He is Matt Maiocco of NBC Sports Bay Area. Matt, really appreciate your time this morning. All these things you've said about DeMeco Ryans are getting us even more excited about the hire. Appreciate your time. And if there's ever something else that involves a San Francisco 49er coming from San Francisco down here to the Houston, Texas, we'll be sure to have you on again.
All right, that's awesome. Appreciate the call, and I hope all is well. And I'm sure you guys and the all Texas fans will really appreciate and learn to respect and really like DeMeco Ryans as the head coach.
Appreciate it, Matt. That is Matt Maiocco, again, NBC Sports Bay Area, also on KNBR. You want to give him a follow on Twitter and take a look back at some of the other things he said about DeMeco Ryans over the year, at MAIOCCONBCS. Appreciate Matt's time. We have some to react to. Oh, man, just hearing about DeMeco Ryans and the way that he interacts with other people, the thing that I hear first, it's just such a different direction from where Bill O'Brien was. Someone who treats people with respect, someone who obviously has the respect of players, given that he played and given that he played not too long ago, that he knows when to press and he doesn't know. It's one thing to do it as an assistant coach when you have a lot of hands-on time. It's another thing to do it as a head coach when you're delegating that responsibility to others. It's good to hear Matt say he shouldn't be concerned about who Ryans is going to be able to bring on the staff because of the respect that he has across the league and especially with everyone who worked with him in San Francisco. But these are the kind of things that you got to be looking for in 2023 when you're looking for a coach. The days of the hard-o, rah-rah guy, I think, are in the past. I am curious to see how Sean Payton works in Denver. Not to say that Sean Payton's one of those, but Sean Payton does have a massive ego about him. Who wouldn't if you've been a successful coach in the league for a while and had a movie starring Kevin James made about you? Yeah, of course you develop a little bit of an ego. Ego. Happy Madison, baby! And then on another front with Jim Harbaugh, who apparently the Broncos were into. We all know that Jim Harbaugh is kind of annoying. Like, I'm a big Hardo fan. I love Hardos. I love the guys who go out there and who are absolutely insufferable and get in people's face and stuff like that. But even Jim Harbaugh for me would be a little bit too much. Sean, you looked like you had a thought about Sean Payton and the Happy Madison production company.
Yeah, and his ego. Having Kevin James play you in a movie, that has to be a blow to the ego a little
bit. You know what? It's a fair point.
Be like, really? Kevin James? Not Sandler?
Not Kevin Sandler?
I'm have you seen a picture of me? I'm Sean Payton.
But it's Paul Blart Mall Cop. What's wrong with Paul Blart Mall Cop? Some people thought that movie was funny.
I don't think Sean Payton views himself as, oh yeah, the same guy who plays Paul Blart is going to play me.
Yeah. Well, he saves the day.
I guess.
Does it unconventionally.
Like Sean Payton.
Or, like hopefully, DeMeco Ryans. Wow. Damn, Paul. You're so good at this. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. People are pissed at me. They've been mad at me for the last couple of days because I said that there is an element of fan service involved in the Houston Texans hiring DeMeco Ryans. I want to read some of the mean things that have been said to me and the stolen valor that I am committing by wearing this Texans starter jacket and Texans shirt that we've had over the last couple of days. And I've had directed my way. It's not quite the hate mail I got in Seattle, death threats and all that stuff after the whole Chill Dog chop incident. But it did have me feeling a little sad this morning. So I will share it with you, plus your thoughts on D'Amico Ryans and a little garbage time to wrap things up. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
Houston Texans hired D'Amico Ryans to be their sixth head coach. It is a home run hire. You should be happy about it. Enjoy the moment. Obviously, I have some questions about it, but this was the creme de la creme. And you didn't have to trade anything like the Denver Broncos did to get Sean Payton. But I will always wonder about whether or not Sean Payton would have been worth a draft pick or perhaps two draft picks. This hire, though, does a lot. The Texans know who he is. He's a guy that played for the organization. He's clearly a guy who treats people with a lot of respect. He's young. He can grow into the job. All the things that you are looking for in a head coach, D'Amico Ryans has a lot of those traits. And as you heard from Matt Maiocco of NBC Sports Bay Area in the last segment, this is a guy who also is like a really good person when it comes to interacting with others. He's not someone who's over-the-top confrontational. He is somebody who is cool deferring to his elders, and I'm very curious as to what he will do now that he has moved all the way up the totem pole of the coaching ranks into the ultimate leadership role, which is a little bit different than being a defensive coordinator and definitely different from being an assistant coach. But it's pretty interesting. I mean, this is a guy who had a very successful 10-plus season career in the NFL, and he moves into the coaching world. A lot of guys who have been playing that long, when you start off with those minuscule coaching salaries, you're probably thinking to yourself, like, after a couple of years, do I really want to do this grind every single day? It's more of a grind than being a player, and it's for less money than that of a player. Maybe less putting yourself on the line, but it is interesting that he went into this role and he has really flourished as much as he has. And unlike a lot of other coaches that we have seen like rise up the ranks recently, he has credibility because he played. And I hate to be the guy who says, like, if you didn't play the game, you didn't play the game. But, I mean, don't you look at someone like D'Amico Ryans if you are a random player with a lot more respect than you would Sean McVay when he first took over? Matt LaFleur when he first took over? Some of these guys who don't look all that different from me. You know, LaFleur, not as good looking as me. Sean McVay, arguably as good looking as me. You know, if you see some pretty boy who looks like he's really just fresh out of school or something like that, and he's never played in the league, I think that's difficult. Ryans is going to command immediate respect. And I feel like even with Lovie Smith and the older guys too, it's hard to keep that level when you are a young team, when you're probably used to working with older players. You don't want to deal with younger players. You want to keep younger players on the bench because you don't, you know, you just don't have a low tolerance for a guy learning on the job. Ryans is different because he's learning on the job too. So I'm happy about the hire. But people are claiming that I shouldn't be allowed to talk about this team anymore. I don't know how many people have seen at one point in his life, funny Jimmy Kimmel show, the mean tweet segment that they do from time to time. So this is 100% a blatant ripoff of that. But some of the segments that I have posted on YouTube, in particular, one that I posted about how D'Amico Ryans is a bit of a fan service move, which isn't a bad thing, by the way. People got pissed off at me. We're going to read some of those comments. Paul Gallant, more like Paul Gallant. Well, that one, I've heard that one a million times before.
Really? A million, huh?
I've heard that a million times.
Wow.
Yeah. One of my friends literally just does that whenever I see him. Does it hurt my heart? Not anymore. Did it at first. I don't know. What's wrong with being gay?
Yeah, why would that hurt your feelings?
It's a great point, Sean. It's a great point. Another comment. This is on youtube.com/Paul Gallant. Iadale 9112. Do us all a favor.
Stop wearing all that merchandise if you want to be so negative.
What did I say that was negative about D'Amico Ryans today? Well,
you said he was Matt Nagy.
I did not say
you
that.
You said he was Black Mac Nagy.
No, I didn't
that
say
was
that.
Your exact words.
No, I didn't say that. I said maybe Sean Payton was the better hire in this situation. Maybe we don't know yet, but on paper, Sean Payton does have pelts on the wall. I did say that the Houston Texans are too woke. Some people might not have liked that. The ones 1442 said, "Man, they create negative angles out of nothing when it's a brother, don't they? Very, very toxic people, man. Just be quiet and keep it strictly about the facts. And be respectful about a real Jew coming to bail out this floundering franchise." Is D'Amico Ryans Jewish? I did learn on Pro Football Reference, you know how they had those nicknames of people that no one actually calls them? And maybe he was called this in Philadelphia when he was playing there. But apparently D'Amico Ryans' nickname for Pro Football Reference is Mufasa. Simba, remember who you are. This is CNN. Another comment. I feel miserable listening to this show. That's Sean's fault. It's been pretty clear over the last couple of days. Sean wanted this to blow up. And he wanted Josh McCown to be hired.
No, I didn't want Josh McCown.
Well, who did you want?
I had just anyone.
Anyone.
I just wanted the Schadenfreude of, oh my God.
No, they got D'Amico.
A guy who has never coached the Texans. We lost him. It's like,
No.
You didn't lose him. Also, I looked up D'Amico Ryan's Jewish. Nothing came up.
Okay. Well, we'll work on that.
Who's the fake Jew that... He's anyway. I feel like we'll get in trouble if we investigate.
I feel like
this
is like someone who probably thinks that Kyrie Irving video that he posted was factual. This is probably somebody who felt that way. Don't make that noise. Don't make that noise. Shut up, dude. Shut up. What else do we have? More mean comments. We are tired of you and your mouth. Everything is funny to you. Yes. I'm not even denying that. It is. It should be. We cover sports for a living. If you take it seriously, you're a bleeping loser. Yes. If you're listening right now and you take sports that seriously, have some fun with it. The team's been bad.
If you can't entertain the idea that...
I mean, you're coming to the wrong show then. If you want us to be serious all the time, maybe tomorrow we'll do all serious. All serious. How about that? He could have went wherever he wanted to go be a coach anywhere, and he came home, period. Well, actually, home is Alabama, so he's not coaching the Alabama Crimson Tide. Is this a stepping stone job for D'Amico Ryans to take over the Alabama Crimson Tide when Nick Saban eventually steps down? I don't know.
I'll be honest. It did cross my mind.
What is Saban making relative to what Sean Payton is making? I actually am curious as to if taking over the job of head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide would be an upgrade over an NFL coaching gig.
Saban made $11 million this year.
That's it?
Yeah. Well, that's in, like, salary. They basically bought his house for him.
Oh, okay.
He gets hooked up.
There's got to be more going on. Like, he must have some like, access to
he
things.
He owns car dealerships.
That's not that impressive, $11 million. Okay, he owns car dealerships. That makes sense. I have yet to hear Paul have a single good take in 2023. Tank for Caleb Williams? Did I say that? D'Amico Ryans is just fan service? What a joke. Did we talk? I don't even think we brought up Caleb Williams.
I think this is the first time we've said Caleb Williams' name in 2023.
I don't even know who he plays for. I know he's a quarterback. I'm kidding. I know he plays for USC. All right, let's wrap things up with garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
An email has gone viral coming from an Arizona restaurant to its employees warning about Philadelphia fans about to invade Phoenix and Glendale. Ladies and gentlemen, the first team for the Super Bowl has been decided. The Philadelphia Eagles and their fans will be in town to represent their city. With that being said, if any of you are from Philly, please don't take this the wrong way. But Philly fans are some of the most obnoxious, rude fans in the country. Two smiley faces.
don't take that in the wrong way. Take that in the right way.
And then he says right after he disses them, blue-collar, hardworking people. They are very passionate and love their sports and teams and will be here to bask in the moment. As hospitality professionals, we need to make sure we show them a great time and make sure we prepare ourselves with their brashness. They will probably be challenging, but we will show them a great time. Bob, that actually is a well-worded email, I think.
Just the phrase, please don't take this the wrong way, but they're some of the most obnoxious, rude people in the country.
They won't take it the wrong way. They take that as a compliment, Sean.
I'm just saying you put that, sandwich that in the middle of where you go, they're super passionate and, you know, sometimes that they're brash. And then you go, that makes them annoying and rude.
You read the whole of this email, Sean. I disagree. I think if you read the whole of this email, Philadelphia would be like, yeah, that's me.
I'm just saying, starting with obnoxious, one of the most obnoxious and rude people in the country. It's a little...
But they legitimately take pride in that.
Eh. But then don't say, don't take this the wrong way.
But...
Because you know, it's a compliment.
But if you say that it's a compliment, if you just say it, it's a little bit more brash. This makes them feel like, yeah, people just don't like us. They hate us because they hate us. I think this guy worded the email correctly. So good job by Bob. And we will be Philadelphia Eagles fans for this Super Bowl. I'm looking at Eagles shirts. I couldn't find any online. I got to find one. I really want to just piss off.
You couldn't find a Philadelphia Not
one that.
Eagles
well,
shirt.
Again, I'm fashion conscious. Oh, okay. I need to find one that is good for me.
You're looking for a lot of, like, the throwbacks and
Kelly Green. I got to say, the Kelly Green throwbacks, like, Philadelphia Eagles fans suck at times. Yes, I'm talking about some people in my actual family. However, they have the coolest throwback unis. Second, Denver Broncos. Paul Gallant Show. Big thanks to everybody who tuned in to today's show. Sean Mapes behind the glass. Matt Maiocco of NBC Sports Bay Area. Check out his interview with us where he talked about D'Amico Ryans and what he's done with the Houston Texans. Plus, our texters, our Twitchers, tweeters, and callers. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long. Farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Wednesday. The Killer Bees are next. Peace.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP.